Also, another major thing that took place in our country, when I was watching this, I thought it would be very befitting to the topic that we're going to talk about today. We're talking about gratitude, but under the subtitle, remembrance. Oftentimes, we easily forget what people have done and sometimes don't celebrate people in their lifetime. This week, there's an event that took place wherein it's one of those men in our countries that I think you'll hear one of the speakers said, we should have done better when it comes to celebrating this person. So as an introduction to my message, I'm going to ask you please to watch this clip.
The coach was attended by the who's who in the sports fraternity. This includes Bafana Bafana's class of 1996, which won the country's first and only major title, the African Cup of Nations. Baka also qualified Bafana Bafana for their first World Cup appearance in 1998. And although Baka dedicated his entire life to football, he also had time for his family.
You all knew our father as a charismatic, positive coach, and he was no different at home. He was a great husband to my mother, an amazing father to Gavin and I, and a wonderful grandfather to his grandkids.
Bafana Bafana's class of 1996 paid an emotional tribute to their coach, saying he was not only their coach, but a father figure who also solved their personal problems.
And I've got a saying that better people make people better. And Clive was certainly a better people, better person, better people. And they, in this room, you just see all the better people here today that he's touched.
I just want to say that this man deserved better. We should have acknowledged him while he was still alive. If anyone in this hall can tell me which coach has achieved much as Clive did, then I'll agree. But at the moment, I strongly believe that we failed him as a nation.
This man deserved better. Somehow, when people are still alive, we easily take them for granted. I think for me, Clive Barker is one of those people that we should have done more as a country. We quickly forgot the victory we had in the Africa Cup of Nations in 1996 and quickly forgot the background and the circumstances under which he was able to build the team, Yabafana Bafana. Unfortunately, as human beings, we don't remember. Sometimes we even forget whilst people are still alive. Once people are no longer in their prime, because he passed on having, I think it was Alzheimer's, if I'm not wrong. And once people get into a certain stage where they're no longer at the prime and the peak of their life, we regard them as a past event. God understands that about us as human beings. And that is why when you read in the Old Testament, again and again, he told his people to not forget, but to remember. In fact, he gave them an instruction that they must memorialize all the encounters they'd had, they'd experienced when he brought them out of Egypt. And they must never forget his interventions, because sometimes the curse of success and the curse of opulence and the curse of having sufficient is to forget where it came from. Once we have eaten, once our bellies are full, once we've achieved, once we have titles, once we have emerged, once we stand on our feet, it's easy for us to forget where we come from. God was so concerned about that, that through the prophet Moses, he speaks to his children in Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 to verse 20. He says, when you have eaten, and are satisfied. Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you've built fine houses and settled down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, though, my power and my strength and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which is sworn to your fathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. God knew that we have a default mechanism. We have a tendency to fall into this trap of forgetting. Like somebody said, as I've grown older, my forgettery has become better. Well, if your neighbor didn't laugh, just bump them and say, maybe your forgettery is not better. And so God gives instructions in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 and 17. He says, all you men must come before the Lord 3 times a year to the place he will choose. They must come at these times, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Shelters. No man should come before the Lord without a gift. Each of you must bring a gift that will show how much the Lord your God has blessed you. But you see, we quickly forget. And we quickly discard those people. We even walk away from God and seek after other gods. I really feel sorry for our nation sometimes. When I look at the history of the struggle and how the very concept of the struggle itself and the whole plans around that was literally birthed in a church building by religious leaders. It becomes very painful for me when I see those in leadership sometimes treating the church as second fiddle and no longer even regarding the role of the church as it should. We've had our freedom, isn't it? We've brought in our specialists, isn't it? We've brought in other voices. We've even following other things, isn't it? But look where it has led us. When man disregards God and you push God aside and you fail to be grateful and you start worshiping what God has given you, if you quickly forget who God has used in your life, the background you come from, then lots of things happen. One of the reasons people fail to be grateful is that they are quick to forget the good that has come their way. Unfortunately, people who forget will have certain evils that will befall them. I want to show you 5 of them. 5 evils. Number 1, people who forget are constantly demoted. Constantly demoted. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. It reads as follows. Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. In other words, what precedes destruction is pride. Once you become proud, and pride is when we fail to acknowledge God, and we fail to acknowledge the good that's been done to us by others. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, pride and a haughty spirit will create a false reality for you. And you will be all puffed up, not knowing that you're going to bite the dust. And so when people become proud, they will get demoted. Number two, people who forget become memorers. Memorers. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a memorer? Why are you so quiet now? Psalms chapter 78, verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40. It says, oh, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved his heart in that dry wasteland. They are in the wilderness. He has brought them out of Egypt. They saw the mighty works of God. They experienced the power of God. But in the wilderness, they grieved him. Keep going, please, all the way to verse 42. Again and again, they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One of Israel. Note, they did not remember his power and how he rescued them from their enemies. 42, yeah, Ifelamo. And they didn't remember what God has rescued them from their enemies. So these people that God had brought out of Egypt, they started memorying, complaining, you know, memorying against the one who helped them. Have you ever helped somebody and then they come complaining to you later? And how many of you realize when they complain, they don't remember any good that you did? Number three, people who forget repeat mistakes. This one is a difficult one. They repeat mistakes. Note this in Daniel chapter 5. Verse 17. Then Daniel answered the king, you may keep your gifts for yourselves and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. Keep going. Your Majesty, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the nation and all the people of every language dreaded him, feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those that he wanted, verse 20, to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. Note, Basilan. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. Wow. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like the ox, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is God and that he is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth and set over anyone he wishes. Verse 22. But you, Belteshazzar, his son, you've not humbled yourself, though you knew this. Verse 23. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You have the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. Instead, you praise the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron, wood, stone, which cannot see or hear, understand, and you didn't honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Very sad that Belteshazzar, in spite of seeing what happened to his father, he forgot about it, that his father, Nebuchadnezzar, became like a wild man, a madman, whose mind turned and he was feeding with the oxen and was like an animal because he moved away from God. But Belteshazzar, instead of learning, he forgot what happened to his dad and he repeats his dad's mistake. People who forget repeat mistakes. Yeah. You can come from a home where your dad was very abusive because he was an alcoholic. And you grew up detesting his appearance. But now here you are, flirting with alcohol. You've forgotten what happened in your home. You've forgotten. And we can easily repeat mistakes. We need to learn, people, from the mistakes of the past. We need to walk away from that. Number four, people who forget dishonor founders and fathers. When you forget, you dishonor founders and fathers. And I was telling them in the first service, there's someone that I'm visiting now who is one of those founders, you know, pioneers, you know. And unfortunately, they are no longer at the peak of their strength. They're very weak now. And what I've noticed is among the people no longer visit this person anymore. This is somebody who everybody who wanted to be anybody would go to this person. And sometimes you note that people only like you when you are at the peak, when you are happening. We don't want you when you're already old and you no longer have the strength. And this person, unfortunately, also has Alzheimer's. So oftentimes when I tell them something, they said, oh, I'm hearing it for the first time. And I know I told them not some few weeks before, but I go and see them. But that's not what people want. People don't want to see you when you're forgetful. People don't want to see you when you're old. People don't want to see you when you are wrinkled up and you are sick. And sometimes people get so sick that they can't even control themselves. They soil their clothes. Will you still love them? Will you still remember who they were at the peak of their strength? That's the problem of the world. That's why the Spirit wrote to Timothy and said, in the last days, people will be unthankful. Yeah. Unfortunately, our culture today is obsessed with new, fresh, young, current. That's the obsession we have. Push out what was, bring in what's new. It's a new era, you know. And what we do, and I understand what that means. But unfortunately, the downside of it is to dishonor fathers. Look at Genesis 9:22, where we see Ham. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. You remember Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So one day the old man in his old age had too much to drink. And in his drunken stupor, took his clothes off. And his son, whom he had raised, when he comes in and finds his father in this condition, instead of covering his father's nakedness, he exposes him to the brothers. If it was not for the dead, this guy wouldn't be alive. It was this man who listened to God to build the ark. It was this man who built the ark in spite of people mocking him and scoffing him. And he became the priest of his home, and he brought his home into the ark and protected his home. Yes, he's reached that stage in his life where he is what he is. But instead of the son remembering, be very careful that when you get to the prime of your life, that you don't look down upon those who carried you on their shoulders. Very careful. Very careful. Be very careful that when you are happening, you forget where you came from. And when people are celebrating, you remind them of where you come from. As a matter of fact, next week, Sunday, we'll be having a very special service. You've heard me talk about people whom God used in my life before I became a pastor. I'm going to have some of them here next week, Sunday, just to thank them. To thank them. Yeah. We'll be in the next few months, we'll be beginning to tell our story. 40-year-long story, but we've cut it up into decades. 10 years, 10 years, 10 years. And we'll tell the first 10 years, the second 10 years. So starting in July, first Sunday in July, and then the first Sunday in August, first Sunday in September, and the grand finale will be in October during our word explosion. We're going to tell our story over 10-year periods. But before the story, there was the formative years. Before I became a pastor, there are people that God used. And next week, Sunday, I want to dedicate it mainly to those men and women that God used in my life. That if it wasn't for their involvement in my life, I wouldn't be standing here today. And so next week, Sunday, I'm going to have maybe not all of them. I can't get to all of them, but I'll have several of them. Some I will mention by name, but just to say thank you. Why? I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget people that God used in my life. I don't want to forget those people. But people who forget is those who dishonor founders and fathers. When people come in to lead churches, businesses, and so on, and they want to disconnect it from the founder. When people lead churches and they are assigned to lead a church, they want to turn and influence that region, that people follow them and make them something that they are not. You know, I never used to understand why is it that in every government office you'll see the picture of the president, the vice president, and maybe the other people who are major office bearers. And that's because they want us to always remember who the head is. That even the person who sits in as a mayor in some place, even if they're sitting there, the picture that is behind them in the office is the picture of the one who is the head of the entire organization. I never used to understand that, because human beings are strange people. Can bring somebody in to lead, and all of a sudden, they make themselves something, or the people make them something, and forget their founders and their fathers. Look at your neighbor and say, I can hear your silent amen, but it's all right. Number five, people who forget become disloyal because they're ungrateful. Mark 3:19, I think the story of Judas Iscariot and Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. Can you imagine Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus? Yeah? This is a guy that if it wasn't for Jesus, Jesus called him to come and join him in the ministry. Yeah? This guy walked with Jesus side by side. So, Basalana, you know, betrayal, unfaithfulness, lack of gratitude, it's not because anything bad has been done to you. Just because as human beings, we are not normally wired to be grateful, to remember. In other words, you have to consciously become grateful. You have to consciously take an effort to say thank you, to remember. Yeah, that's why God says, memorialize it. Write it down. 3 times a year, put time aside. Say, this whole day, I'll just be remembering. This whole day, because as a human being, I get carried away by everything else. And this is why, Pastor, I'm trying to, I hope you are learning, Grace Bible Church, I'm trying to model this even in the way I live, to say thank you. Even in the things I say, to say thank you to people. Thank you to God, most of all, you know, who's number one. And I know God works in our lives. He also uses people. And when I say thanks to the people, thanks to the children, thanks to the Unlimited, thanks to whomever's Piri. Thanks. Thanks. At least there's a little koto iki bonta teli kaf. Beautiful set. Yeah, you can see that one. You won't find it anywhere. There's no shop. That one is custom made just for you. Hey, come on, let's give Bombeba's Piri and the children a big hand. Now, the flip side of this is that you can choose to be grateful. You can make a choice to remember. You can intentionally remember. A grateful person is one who refuses to forget the good done to them. They intentionally remember, most of all, the goodness of God by showing gratitude. That's why I so appreciated it when we were all just, you know, worshiping God spontaneously without anybody having to crank you up. That you can let your heart thank God. Right? Ibila hadin totally bad. That's the time you must raise your hands the most and shout the most. Yeah. So I'm really getting grateful to see the way we come to church to praise God and to thank Him. We owe Him that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, when we begin to praise Him, you see how His presence fills the house. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise Him, He is attracted to us. When we thank Him, He is attracted to us. When we thank Him, He cannot stay away from us. He has to just come our way when we thank Him. So I want to share with you 12 benefits of showing gratitude, or 12 benefits of giving thanks. And I'm going to do it within the time left, and we will dismiss on time. How about a little ha? Hey, this congregation. Ah. I've never heard any pastor or congregation when I rehakere, hey, my Gracie Ali. Bare ha ke sa fetse rera so yo. Ere ke fetse rera ske bare ha. Number 1. Gratitude glorifies God. In other words, this alone would be the reason to give thanks to God. Our gratitude. It glorifies God as we exalt Him, not the gifts He's given us. As we thank Him, the giver, and don't get married to the gift. Gratitude helps us realize that all that we have, And all that we are comes from God. I tell you, Vazalan. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. So, in our gratitude, we glorify God. Number two, gratitude helps us see God. What do I mean? Gratitude opens our spiritual eyes. There's a beautiful cycle, Bazalana, when we give thanks. The more we thank Him, is the more we see Him working in us, is the more we see Him working around us. Gratitude helps us sense God's presence, His personal care, and His perfect timing. You'll see God. Even when the day hasn't gone the way it should go, you'll see God. You'll see where God has been involved. You know, one of the things I've learned recently, and it's just a recent, well, I've known it in the past, but I've become more conscious of it. Pastor Anna, have you worked hard at something and it never comes to pass? Like somebody said, it doesn't come to pass, it comes to stay. You work hard. Have you ever woken up early in the morning and you've planned everything properly and onoru lotu akana ko eating? But for some reason, Inji, you get delayed. You know, in the past, I used to be so upset. But recently, and I say recently, it's the last 2 years. Well, as you grow older, recently, it's not last week, 2 years ago. I've been watching specifically on days when, for instance, I've had those delays. And there was no reason why I delayed. I just, something, some unseen force, Nje. And then I realized as I drove Kai Kai, several things. Either there was an accident, or there was a traffic delay, or there was something, I had forgotten, and it was a major thing. Just when I was about to leave, then I remembered, hey, you see. And then I realized, you know, I mustn't be upset anymore. Look at your neighbor and say, chill. Look at your other neighbor and say, chill. Yeah. But then don't be uptight. Don't be uptight. Like, mokere ken, there's things I've wanted. And then they don't happen. And you pray everything, spiritual warfare, and nothing has happened. Now, but I'm not talking about passivity. I'm not talking about accepting defeat. No. I'm saying there's a certain mystery to life. And if you don't factor in the God factor there, right? And learn to relax when you've done all that you can do. And not worry and not be anxious. And learn to be grateful. You will miss seeing God in it. I've given that example. Now I'll talk about it maybe some other time. I've said it before. When I was in matric, you know, I used to be a dancer. I used to do ballroom dancing, you know. So, oh. Hi, Mara Luna. Mara, I must be honest, Barcelona. I really love you. You're a good congregation. I think you are a nice people to preach to, so you must say those things some more. I like preaching to you guys. You're good. You're not dead people. You know, you make it alive, you know. So I was one of those people who was also nominated for a scholarship to go to the U.S. I should have gone to Umurko. In 1978... I was supposed to go to Umurko. And my parents refused. You know, all the things that were sorted out in 1977, already you know you are supposed to go to America. And then it was, they brought it to my parents, and my parents said, no, agayindao. Now, you must remember, you know, right now, America is not much. Mara, back then, you just go to America for 2 days, when you come from America, even your own family, Anyhow, I don't talk more, but I wanted to go there. But I didn't go. I was upset. And Runa is in those days, you know, back then, you know, our generation. You don't ever talk to your parents and I hate you. Yeah? you but I remember 6 feet down, my friend. You don't say that. Come on, I was angry. Little did I know that the following year, the year exactly that I was supposed to have gone to America, the following year, 5th of August, 1978, I got born again. Think about it. So had I gone to America, I wouldn't be standing here today, I'm telling you. So, Mamela. Sometimes, Iriki Chomkasu so wetune, Uska Fostela. Learn to be grateful, even when things didn't turn out the way you wanted them to turn out. See God in it. In hindsight, I'm grateful I didn't go to Murica, because I've been to Murica now many times. That I no longer tabuga going to America. I just go and come back many times. But the greatest gift of being born again as a child of God, I'd never give anything in exchange for that. Never. Learn to see God. Number three. Let's read the verse first. James 1:16-17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from where? From above. It comes down from where? From the Father of the heavenly light. So the good gifts come from God. Number three, gratitude puts us in God's will. What does it mean? We often make God's will out to be some big mystical thing. But part of God's will for us is for us to be thankful in all situations. Be thankful for the sunny day. Be thankful for the cloudy day. Be thankful for the rainy day. Be thankful in everything. Note, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Hearing, for this is God's will for you. Now that God's will is for you to learn to give thanks in all situations. It didn't say give thanks for all situations. It says give thanks in all situations. There's a difference. I can't thank God for the attack of the devil and thank him when the devil attacked me that I'm sick. I can't thank him for that, but I can thank him even when I'm going through that season. In that situation, I can still thank him. Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, having been scourged and chained, locked in C-Max prison, God posted to guard them from escaping. Bibele at midnight. Doctors will tell you, it's at midnight where the pain is to have more. I don't know how many of you realize, when you get sicker. In fact, statistics show that there are more people who die at midnight than any other time. At midnight. We are also told that is when it's the most darkest. That's the darkest time of the day at midnight. But we are also told that at midnight, that is the transition time. It's where darkness ushers you into light. It's at midnight you are moving into a new day. At midnight, when things are bad, I can imagine the way they were feeling the pains and everything. At the height of the problems, at the height of the pain, at midnight, they sang praises to God. And just to be sure, the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. Mamelamba Salana, it wasn't a small whispery praise. It wasn't a praise under their breath. They shouted glory to God. They shouted hallelujah to God with their bodies bleeding, with their arms chained and their feet chained in locks. They sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Right in jail, right in pain, right in trials, they learned to thank God. Ah, that's what we do. When we show gratitude to God in every situation, we give thanks in all situations. This is the will of God. Gratitude puts you in the center of the will of God. Learn to thank God, Bazalana. Even when things are at the height of the worst of anything, thank God. Not for the situation, but in the situation. That's why I've appreciated your thanking God so much this morning. And I encourage you to do more. Yeah, I saw many people coming to the front car. Hey, because last week I said, no, I'm just teasing there. I'm just teasing, okay. But even if number 4, gratitude brings peace. It brings peace. Why? Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, present your request to God. Don't only pray the petition prayer. Put in thanksgiving there. And the peace of God, hallelujah, which transcends all understanding. Why it transcends all understanding? Let's about to a transcender. A transcending thing, or get to anything above normal. It's something outside understanding. It's at the peace of God. It transcends understanding. What does it mean? Naturally, normally, because of the situation that brings anxiety and worry, because of what you're going through, you are supposed to be depressed. You are supposed to be sad. You are not supposed to be laughing. You are not supposed to be joyful. Mara, when you learn to present your request to God with thanksgiving, there's a peace that's going to come upon you that you also don't understand. Normally, I should be depressed, but I don't understand. I've got peace that passes all understanding. Normally, I should be worried. I should be lying awake at night. In spite of what I'm going through, it's a peace that passes all understanding. Can I hear an amen? It's a peace that passes all understanding. One minister said, and I've learned this, he said, you know, when we meet with pastors, oftentimes we talk about the way we are having problems in our churches, and there's many problems in the church. Eh? So this pastor said, his friend said, Mara, wenamuna, you never say anything. And one of the people knew the church he had taken over. He had taken over a church that was a troubled church. How many of you know that there are troubled churches? There's troubled churches because there are troubled people there. And when you go to a troubled church, you are also going to be in trouble. And he said, well, now you are in this troubled church, I know. He said, but you never say anything. He says, no. He says, why don't you ever say anything? He says, well, I have learned to cast my cares upon God. I'm at peace. Now, when you say I'm at peace, it doesn't mean I'm not going through problems. It just means I'm not going to let the problems determine. I'm going through turbulence, but my life is in the hands of the pilot called God Almighty. He said to me, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. We're experiencing turbulence, but don't worry. It will all be okay because your life is in my hands. We will go through this. We are going to work our way through this. I'm telling somebody, God's going to take you through the issues. God's going to take you through the problems. Don't let anxiety and worry blow your mind up. Your hand is in there. Your life is in the hands of God. It's a peace that passes all understanding. I'm trying to train myself not to talk too much about the troubles of the church. Because church has problems. Try my best to disassociate. I come to work, deal with the problems. Work. I deal with the problems. I get some work. I get to get it. Not that I don't have the problems. Not that there are not situations. But I want the peace of God. One translation says the peace of God will be like an umpire. It will mount guard and garrison. It garrisons it. It mount guards your heart and your mind. Why your heart? Horoscope lady heart problems lady high. Why your mind? So that you don't become depressed and you don't. Oh, I see the peace of God mount guarding and garrisoning your heart and your mind. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout. Why? When you do that, you are making a statement to the devil, God is in charge of my life. Doesn't matter what you throw at me, God is in charge of my life. I have given my problems to God. I don't have the power to solve my problems, but my life is in the hands of God, and I've given it to God. I'm not going to worry about it. Let God worry about it. Don't be anxious for anything. Gratitude brings peace. Number five, gratitude draws us to God. We read the story of the leper who came back. The others received healing. They went back happy. But the one who came back fell at the feet of Jesus. He became closer to God. Not only did he receive healing, he was restored. See, when we show gratitude, it will draw us to God. Number six, gratitude brings contentment. Pastor Lana, I still am going to do a sermon. I told them in the first service, and I've been telling you, I'm working on this sermon. I think one of the biggest lessons we've learned, my bishop and I, is to be content. Pastor Lana, where you are in life, that's where you are. Yeah, that's it. I don't know if I can say it better than that. Wherever you are in life, that's where you are. Yeah. So when we're in a back room, that's where we are. Why must I be depressed to rakiko room? That's where I am. So what do? Make the best of that room. Just pimp your room. Your one room. Pimp it. Merukomba taxi. Tamaka taxi. That's where we are. Does it mean we're not aiming for better? No. Does it mean we're not believing for better? No. But it means the reality of where we are. That's where we are. And if you can learn that, Barcelona, you'll be content. I'm telling you, you'll be content. There'll always be somebody who has more than you and less than you. There'll always be somebody who drives a bigger car than you and a smaller car than you. If not smaller, a sicker car than your car. That is very cool. It's a little bit of a man. It's a hot one. And many people are so discontented. They just never learn to say, this is where I am. I'm not going to be here forever. But for now, this is where I am. So you see people living beyond their means. And we're living in that time now. But people just want, Guru, we live for show. Guru, we want to impress people by Lore. When the hawks come to take the cars, but they were the first there. Tweeting about us. Wherever you are, that's where you are. Learn to be content. True satisfaction is never derived from things. Now, I know, Bazana, it's hard for us to hear that as people who grew up in backgrounds where things have been hard for us. You kind of think, if I can just get a car, I'll be happy. And then how fetch a record, I want to have a petrol. Come on, don't give me that look now. Then it needs to be serviced. You know. So we then realize, hooray. You know, you want a big house? And then next thing you get into it, and you realize the yard needs to be taken care of. So whichever way you look at it, President, wherever you are, that's where you are. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you, Basala? But most people live with a sense of being discontented. Always unhappy, always dissatisfied. No matter what they get, they are dissatisfied. So what do? They push themselves so hard. They live for show. It's all right, month end day, our tole mo phone. Why let's not say, look at your neighbor and say, guys, come on, head. First Timothy 6:6-8 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with this. Yeah, you'll get there one day. But for now, that's where you are. That's where you are. Make the best of where you are. And don't live with a sense, Nkara, life owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. Number 7, gratitude deepens our faith. Keeping a record of God's past faithfulness is a faith booster. More so when you face new difficulty. That's why God told Israel to remember his great deeds. Psalms 136 verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Give thanks, he's good, he's good. Remember his good deeds. His love endures forever. Number 8, gratitude leads to joy. In other words, the overflow of gratitude is joy. When you realize God's abundant goodness, even in hard times, it's a gateway for joy. Psalms 126 shows this so clearly as the Hebrew exiles sang their thanks to God. In Psalms 126 verse 1 to 3, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Oh, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. See, when you are filled with thanksgiving, it leads to joy. Number 9, gratitude defies Satan's lie. Satan will always try to make you feel like God has been good to others more than he has been to you. I want to talk to some of you here. Sometimes in life you do what's right, but the outcome doesn't match what you've done. And then you look over to someone else who is violating every rule in the book, but things are working for them. It looks like. I want to add that it looks like. Yeah. I've seen sometimes with young people or elderly people who have served God for years, after a while they want to leave and say, no, and they want to go back to other things. Satan likes to lie to us and tell us that God has not been fair to us. This is the temptation that Job faced. After serving God for years, and from nowhere, his family was attacked, his property was attacked, his body was attacked. Finally, his wife said, Mara, why Santa no senyanak? Kamu dibu owahau. Why don't you just curse God and die once? Job refused. Why? Because at that time, if you make decisions based on that moment, if you're a sentimental person and your understanding of God is based on what you're going through at that moment, you'll never understand God. Because in God's kingdom, our life is seed time and harvest. You will never sow good things and never reap good things. The harvest may delay. It may take long. You may go through seasons when it looks like you're wasting time. It may seem like your prayers are not answered. It may seem like your worship doesn't make any sense. It may seem like your Bible reading is not advantageous. It may look like when you're praying in tongues, you're wasting time. It may look like when you're going to church, you are just going there to waste your time. But let me tell you, you're not wasting time. In the world of the Spirit, when you sow good seeds, God will always remember what you have done. One day is one day. One day is one day. The seed will grow. God will restore. Job lost his life, lost everything. Didn't lose his life, lost his health, lost his children, lost his property, lost his flock, lost the peace in the home. There were tensions in the home. But Job said, I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to walk away from God. Even if I don't understand what's going on, even if I don't know what's going on, but I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. No one is going to take me away from that. I know when he changed my life. I know when he came into my life. I know this God has carried me. I may be confused about these seasons, but I know that my Redeemer lives. I refuse to turn my back on God. And finally, God began to restore. I see God restoring in somebody's life in the house. Somebody shout hallelujah. They've been laughing at you, but they will laugh no more. They've been scoffing and mocking at you, but they will never scoff and mock no more. Because when God begins to answer, you don't have to explain anything. The answer will explain to everybody. Can I hear a shout? Oh yeah. When God comes through, he silences the critics. Ooh. Hallelujah. 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 Can I preach for a while? Can I preach for a while? You know why I get excited about this? Because every time I stand in this building, what I'm talking about is so real. What I'm talking about is so real. When people were saying those years, yeah, Uchiledi Chelete, yeah, and you know, even newspapers, but join at Taba Eba Side Sibing, and it's everywhere. And anytime I try to answer, God said, Oska Wanaka, keep your mouth shut. When I just keep on walking, just keep on working, keep on saving the money, keep on building. And we started saving the money and saving the money and saving the money. And when we came in here, I remember it was the 26th of October 2001. I will remember that day as long as I live. When we walked through those doors, Lima Bishop, and walked down the aisles, tears were in my eyes as I could hear the Lord say, I told you be quiet, I told you I will give an answer, I told you. And when we stood here, I remember standing here and saying, hey, some of you nalere re kija chalete bonang hore kijile chalete yang bonang fela kijile kie kijile kie. I see God restoring in your life in the name of Jesus. He's gonna silence the enemy in Jesus' name. Don't give in to the lie of the devil who's telling you that you're wasting your time. I said, you're not wasting your time when you're praying. You're not wasting your time when you're worshiping God. You're not wasting your time when you're reading the Bible. You're not wasting your time when you're coming to church. You're not wasting your time when you're worshiping the one who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I said, you're not wasting your time when you're the only one who wakes up in the morning from your family with your Bible in your hand. You're not wasting time. How combatexi utamokerekeng. You're not wasting time when you're waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray in the morning. You're not wasting time when you are doing the devotions and you're reading God's word. You are not wasting time. But they will never love forever. Let them love. But God will answer. I said, God will answer. God will answer. God will answer. God will answer. I feel in this house that some people who are right on the brink of giving up, because you've done all the good that should be done, but the fruit is not showing. And you are right about here. And Satan begins to whisper in your ear. Maybe not in the same words, but similar to what he said to Job. Why don't you curse God and die once? Why says army to live like the others? Kibalebadi eta din tobona how their life is. Look, they've bought a car, they have a house. When Anto Rapela Modimu Mara, you don't even have one car, you don't even have one house. He's lying to you. I said, he's lying to you. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I see you reaping the good rewards of your prayers. Reaping the good rewards of what you have done. I feel God wants to encourage somebody in this house today not to give up. Sometimes we get tired. But you know what I've learned? do like what they do in the Comrades Marathon. If you can't run anymore, start walking. If your body starts giving up and you start cramping up, start limping. And hopefully there are some comrades who can come and carry you and say, Mtanasekhaya, let's go to the finish line. You've come too far to give up. You've been in this too long to turn your back. God has carried you for too long. The finish line is just around the corner. It won't be long. Your answer is around the corner. God will never withhold any good thing from those who worship Him and whose hearts are pure towards Him. I feel there's some comrades here that need to be carried over the finish line. You've been serving God too long. It's not time to turn back on Him. It's not time to start worshiping other gods and start to bring other things in your life. It's no use. Maybe you've been dealing with disease or sickness that cannot be cured, and you feel like God is not aware of it. You feel like God is not there to help you. You say, but why God? I see the other people, things are getting better. But I'm here to tell you, when God comes through, He buys back all the lost time. Because He's a God who restores. When God comes through, you'll never even be able to see that there was a time lapse, because God is never late. He's always on time. I speak that over your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody in this house, lift up your hands and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Shall we all stand on our feet, everybody? Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Mama maho beste. Shatata la maha mama maraba la baba. Karabaraba la baba 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 baba. Katala baraba baba. Karabasa koroma nombolo dose karabaseka. Shakatata la bariata la babora de la sika manende. Oh, Mama Malia Torebabre, Mama Ngangalia Lose Cresta la Bagureba, Shakatasta la Bahola Munamula Tete Bretele Mano, Mama Magore de Breste Carabore de Celeba, Oh, Je Bresto Coro Debre. Worship the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost coming into this house. Lift up your hands and worship Him. Pray to the Lord. Presence of the Lord that delivers. Presence of the Lord that sets free. Amaka tebres seprefel manensens. Shana mahale petale tesia torikene. Rekos kenambra palabaria koterde. Gasita lababo. Shabarabaria telebotoso. Oh, ngresta korodeba. La 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 baria lababo. Shaka bobro sokoro debro sokoro. Eh, la baria la bosso. Oh, yes. Eh, la monanos. Gera balons. Remain standing. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you are here today for the first time and Jesus is not the Savior and the Lord of your life, even if you may have come to the front right now, this is a different prayer that I'm praying. This is about receiving Christ, that He should change you and make you a child of God. Your life is not right before God, and you know it. But you want to invite Jesus into your life, into your heart, and you need prayer. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If that's you, and you want to invite Jesus Christ into your life, would you raise your hand, please, right where you are? I want to pray for you. Raise it high so that I can see it, please. Raise it high all over this place. Thank you for those hands. Thank you, thank you. Can I invite everybody who raised their hands? I want to pray for you. Would you walk to the front? Just come stand here so that I can pray for you. Give them a hand. Give us a different song, all right? Thank you, Lord. Come on. Ushers will help you. Take your belongings, please. Now, don't leave your belongings behind, all right? Take your Bible, your bag, your purse. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name.